हरि ओम सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय श्री प्रभुपाद की। Okay, so Bhagavat-sandarbha, Adhyayana 4, Adhikarana 1, the fullness of Bhagavan, shown top of page 12. Pumsam gatim mrigayantam iha yoga margair jnanaspadam bahumatam nayanabhiramam pamshnam vapur dasha nayam Ananya Siddher Aupatika Samagrinam Yutam Asta They saw the Lord, who is the object of meditation for those seeking liberation by the path of Astanga Yoga, who is approved by many, who is the delight of the eyes, who has a human form which he displays as many avatars, and who is endowed with his eight inherent eternal qualities, which are experienced by the devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15:45. Uddhiriti, Srila Prabhupada. Yoga practice necessitates controlling the senses. And the beginning of sense control is to control the tongue. One who can control the tongue can also have control over other senses. One cannot allow the tongue to take all kinds of forbidden food and drink at the same time advance in the practice of yoga. It is a very regrettable fact that many unauthorized so-called yogis come to the Western countries and exploit people's inclination towards yoga practice. Such unauthorized yogis even dare to say publicly that one can indulge in the habit of drinking and at the same time practice meditation. See, it's because they're just taking advantage that they don't know. And there's an interest in yoga. So for them, it's just the asanas and that, a little meditation, the whole idea is that your health will improve, the mind will be more peaceful. That you'll be a little bit more limber, a little more, you may lose some weight or, you know, like that. It's just a nice thing to do. It's a pleasant thing to do. And so as far as they're concerned, that's all there is. So when the yogi tells them they can eat or drink and do anything they like, as long as they do the yoga and the meditation, they'll be fine. Then they can take advantage, you know, and plus depending upon the mood, you know, it's like these yogis, and they're generally very good at presenting, you know, things in a very sophisticated way, and so they're able to, you know, in that way make it look more exclusive and how they talk and how they arrange things, and then like that, then people are willing to, you know, pay good money and everything like that. So it becomes a real problem like that. Then they just give it a bad name. The excess, the brief, yes. Please.
When we see all this thing in Kali Yuga, you know, cheating, cheater like that, you know, it was, I assume it was different in other age than Kali Yuga. When people were speaking about yoga, it was real yoga.
Yeah, yes, of course.
It's especially for Kali Yuga that it is.
Yes, Kali Yuga is special. That makes us special. That you have the point in of Kali is he tries to degrade everything, because breaking the four regulative principles, that is his, you know, that's what he propagates, you know, that's his, because you'll see no matter what people do in Kali Yuga, what they're generally speaking, whatever their religion is, their philosophy about life, their social philosophy, their economic system, their administrative system, doesn't matter what it is, they will all be breaking the four regulative principles. You know, that's the common thing, because that's Kali Yuga. So in the other ages, it's not that you can't get distracted by these, because they do. They still cause trouble. And so they should be avoided. Like in Manu, then there's a discussion about how the king should avoid these, you know, breaking these four regulative principles. Because otherwise, then he gets distracted. And examples are given, you know, of Yudhishthir or Nala, how they, you know, by gambling, how they were defeated, you know, like that. And different people by whatever they're doing, if they're overly absorbed, like what's his name, Pandu was, you know, really into hunting, and so that was his undoing. So any of these activities, because the problem with the four regulative principles means that not in following but in breaking them, is that it gives the maximum, you could say, the maximum distraction to the mind. It takes up, you know, the full CPU, you know. So it's just like there's no space for anything else. That's why Prabhupada says you can't do these things and practice meditation, because meditation is constant. But, you know, they show them and they meditate for, you know, 5 minutes or, you know, it's like in the West, you know, let's say they're being very formal, very serious. Then let's say, you know, some disasters happen. So then they'll have a minute of silence. 1 minute. And for them, that's like, whoa, that was so serious. 1 minute. You know, but yoga is supposed to be the meditation is more. So if they do 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or maximum 20 minutes, then, you know, that's serious yoga, you know, like that. You know, done some breathing exercises, you know, a few mudras and all that. And I've heard someone, I mentioned, you know, recently, I think last year or something, nowadays they don't do the breathing exercises so much. People can't relate to it. They just are too restless. So they can't relate to sitting there and doing breathing exercises. You know, everyone just wants to do their own thing, what they want to think about. And, you know, so the asanas is physical, it engages them. You know, and probably in that, then they're getting the asana right. They may or may not be getting the breathing right. And there's definitely, you know, I doubt it, getting into the meditation. You know, the biggest meditation in the asanas will probably be the shavasana, where then whoever's directing it will be, you know, now meditate on your feet. And then from there, you know, you come up to your knees. And then from the knees, then you, like this. And so that becomes their whole, you know, mind-blowing meditation. And, you know, then they get so relaxed, they fall asleep, you know. The breathing exercise of the yoga system, which is generally practiced, is just the beginning. Right? So it's being taken, now it's being dropped because it's too advanced for people to get into, but it's actually the beginning. You know, you're gonna follow the regulative principles, establish yourself in a seat, practice the asanas, practice the breathing. Then that's all preliminaries. All that's preliminaries. Meditation on the Supersoul is just another step forward. But to attain direct contact with the Supersoul and take dictation from him is the highest perfectional state. So even here, meditating upon the Lord, then even that is how to move forward. It's a farther step, but we see they don't even get to, nowadays, to pranayama, let alone stopping the breathing. Because the whole idea of pranayama, nowadays, it's just, you know, regulate the breathing. It's good for health. If you have this problem, do this pranayama, bad health, that pranayama. So yes, those things will be there. And so depending, you would do whichever ones are there. If your health's good, you just do the regular one. But these other ones that while you're doing your yoga, if there's any health issues and all that, then you can follow those. Yes. And say, but the whole idea is you're controlling the breath so that you stop the breathing. Because when the breath is not moving, that's when the mind's peaceful. And then when the mind's peaceful, then you're going to be able to focus. When you can focus, then you can meditate, you know, so then meditating on the head. So it's still another, just another step forward. But to attain, okay, the breathing exercise, the meditation practice were very difficult even 5,000 years ago. Otherwise, Arjuna would not have rejected the proposal of Krishna that he adopt this system. This age of Kali is called the fallen age. In this age, people in general are short-lived and very slow to understand self-realization or spiritual life. They are mostly unfortunate, and therefore, if someone is a little bit interested in self-realization, he's likely to be misguided by so many frauds. The only way to realize the perfect stage of yoga is to follow the principles of Bhagavad Gita as practiced by Lord Chaitanya. This is the simplest and highest perfection of yoga practice. Lord Chaitanya demonstrated this Krishna conscious yoga system in a practical manner by simply chanting the holy name of Krishna, as prescribed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Oh no, it's here. As prescribed in the Vedanta, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and many important Puranas. That's far out. Okay, that's the farthest you've ever reached. As prescribed in, and I went to Bhagavatam and I left out the Vedanta. The largest number of Indians follow this yoga process. And in the United States, it is gradually spreading in many cities. It is very easy and practical for this age, especially as those who are serious about success in yoga know the process of yoga can be successful in this age, right? So in other words, the bhakti yoga is the main, because how many Indians are actually seriously practicing yoga as a self-realization? So there's very few. There's a few ashrams here and there, but the ones that are actually serious, they won't be in those ashrams. They'll be up in the Himalayas somewhere. The meditation process was possible in the golden age, Satyuga, because people in that age used to live for hundreds of thousands of years. When one wants success in practical yoga practice, it's advised to take to the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And he will certainly feel himself making progress. In Bhagavad Gita, this practice of Krishna consciousness is prescribed as Raja Vidya, or the king of all education. Right? So you have all these different things, but the king of education then is understanding how something connects to Krishna. That becomes the real thing. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15:45 purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Persons desiring liberation because of lack of pure bhakti do not desire to experience the sweetness of the Lord. But without meditation on the Lord, they cannot achieve even liberation. The form of Narayana approved by many authorities, Bahumatam, is suitable for meditation with this quality. It's interesting. Bahu Matam. You're saying about Mata? Suitable for meditation with this qualities by practitioners of Astanga Yoga who seek liberation, Gatim. He shows a human form, Paushnam. There are many other forms of the Lord, such as Mohini, who are all accepted as Bhagavan. The Lord is endowed with his own eight perfections: sounds, touch, form, taste, smell, mercy, action, and power. Arising from his sarup, which are natural, outpatikaihi, or eternal experienced Bogaihi, through bhakti by his devotees. This means the devotees experience seven items: his sweet voice, sound, his softness, touch, his beauty, form, his sweetness, taste, his fragrance, smell, his affection, mercy, his pastimes, action, by their six senses in the form of prema. The eighth item, power or aishwarya, consisting of the six qualities which define Bhagavan, is experienced by the devotees, the aspects for liberation and those liberated according to their capabilities. Some say the eight cities refer to the eight mystic powers such as anima. Right? So he's saying some say like that. But here he's saying that this is the real perfection of yoga. These are the eight cities. It's where in these eight features, then you are appreciating the Lord. Right? So then that becomes, that's the real yoga city. Because he was a deep revelation of Brahman, the Lord was given great regard, Bahu Mata. He showed a human form, Paumshnam, non-different from the Vishnu, the Gunavatara lying in the Garbhodak ocean, not a form like Brahma's. He was endowed with eight perfections which rose from his sarup, Ananya Siddhahi, and which were natural, Outpati Kaihi, eternally part of him. Possession of eight mystic cities, which are material, is not implied. But he did have Aishwarya and other bhagas, spiritual qualities. Since he is the object of praise by the Kumaras, Samagrinam means they praised him thoroughly. Yon tarhito hridigato pi durat manam tvam. So jaiva na nayanamulam anantaradha. Yar yeva karna vivarena guham gato na pitran uvar nitaraha bhavad udbhavena. The Kumaras said, O Lord of unlimited qualities, he who resides in the heart, invisible to the sinful, today has been seen by our eyes. When your secret nature was described previously by Brahma, who was born from you, it entered our intelligence through the ears. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15:46, Uddhiti, Srila Prabhupada. Although the first realization of the supreme absolute truth is impersonal Brahman, one should not remain satisfied with experiencing the impersonal effulgence of the Supreme Lord. In the Ishupanishad also, the devotee prays that the glaring effulgence of Brahman may be removed from his eyes so he can see the real personal feature of the Lord and thus satisfy himself fully. Similarly, although the Lord is not visible in the beginning because of his glaring bodily effulgence, if a devotee sincerely wants to see him, the Lord is revealed to him. It is said in Bhagavad Gita that the Lord cannot be seen by our imperfect eyes. He cannot be heard by our imperfect ears. He cannot be experienced by our imperfect senses. But if one engages in devotional service with faith and devotion, then God reveals himself. Here the four sages, Sanat Kumar, Sanatana, Sanandana, and Sanaka, are described as actually sincere devotees. Although they had heard from their father, Brahma, about the personal feature of the Lord, only the impersonal feature, Brahman, was revealed to them. But because they were sincerely searching for the Lord, they finally saw his personal feature directly, which corresponded with the prescription given by their father. They thus became fully satisfied. Here they expressed their gratitude because although they were foolish, impersonalists in the beginning, by the grace of the Lord, they can now have the good fortune to see his personal feature. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15:46 purport. By heartfelt praises, the Kumaras then indicate their love for the Lord in five verses. This will be explained according to the fact that the Kumaras are fixed in Brahman, Akshara Jusham. Continually appearing in the form of Brahman is not so astonishing. But now you have appeared with a form of the highest tattva, an intense revelation, manifested by a special function of the Surup Shakti composed of Vishuddha Sattva, we are most fortunate. Because that he's pervading everything through the Brahman, that's pretty standard. Because that's then the first approach. That's how everybody is in contact with the Lord. Anything that's important to anybody is actually is the aspects of the general qualities of Brahman. You know, so we like a place because of some qualities, or you know, so how something works, or the efficiency of something, or the beauty of something. All these things are coming from Brahman. They're all based on Brahman. So from that, then that potency is given to the material energy, and she manifests. But the original potency is coming from Brahman. And that Brahman is coming from the person. So they're saying is that this is very, very unique, that then through the Surup Shakti of Vishuddha Sattva, then we're seeing. Because this other aspect of Vishuddha Sattva then is not actually means you're not seeing, you haven't come to the eternal platform of spiritual realization, right? Because otherwise it'll be temporary. You'll be absorbed in Brahman for this life or maybe a few lives, and then you'll get distracted because there won't be that taste, that full taste won't be there. Oh, unlimited Lord, you who do not appear for the wicked, though you reside in the heart invisibly, do not remain invisible to us. Today you have attained Radha, our eyes. Api samradhane pratyakshanu manabhyam. When there is intense bhakti, the Lord can be perceived by the senses. Since this is stated in scriptures, Brahma Sutra 3.2.24. The Creator created external senses. Therefore, man sees external objects, not the inner Lord. A wise man desiring immortality, turning his eyes inward, sees the Lord within. Katha Upanishad 2.1.1. The reason that the Lord is not invisible to them is described. When the secret was taught by Brahma, who was born from you, it entered our intelligence, Guhyaha, through our ears. Tam tvam vidhama bhagavan param atma tattvam satvena samprati ratim rachayantam esham yat tenu tapa viditer dridha bhakti yoga udgrantayo hridi vidur munayo viragha. O Lord, by your mercy, we know you, the supreme form of Atma, who creates prema in the inhabitants of Vaikuntha, as described to us by Brahma. Impersonal sages like us, who have given up the material world, can know in their heart this form only by determined bhakti, which is characterized by remorse for having committed offense to your doorkeepers. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. The devotee does not want to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in voidness or impersonalism. In one sense, absolute transcendental variegatedness is meant only for the devotees, not for others. Because this distinct feature of transcendental variegatedness can be understood only by the mercy of the Supreme Lord and not by mental speculation or the ascending process. Right, so mental speculation, where you might be taking shastra, like the Mayavadis and others, but they're giving indirect interpretation. They're not taking the direct, so they're just speculating. Or if you're using the ascending process, you know, without shastra, it still won't work. So anybody whose approach is from the scholarly platform, and they think due to their scholarliness, they will understand Krishna consciousness, that won't happen. They have to engage that their intelligence in the Lord's service. Then through that bhakti, then they'll understand. But just by the intelligence itself, that they can't understand. It is said that one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead when one is even slightly favored by him. Otherwise, without his mercy, a man may speculate for thousands of years and not understand what is actually the absolute truth. This mercy can be perceived by the devotee when he is completely free from contamination. It is stated, therefore, that only when all contamination is rooted out, then the devotee is completely detached. Change of the guard.
Maharaj, can I ask you?
Yes, why not? He'll just let me finish this sentence. Therefore, only when all contamination rooted out, the devotee is completely detached from material attractions, can he receive the mercy of the Lord. Yes, please.
So, is it actually possible by ascending process to reach the Brahma Bhuta platform?
No. You would have to, there would have to be the that aspect of basing it on scripture like that. Just the Arohana Panta on its own, you're not going to get. You would have to base it on Shabda. So with a mix, then you might get to that. But the point is it'll only be temporary. Because if you've only gotten there by speculation in that, not by the Lord, you know, being absorbed in the Lord, then you can't stay on that Brahma-Bhuta platform. I mean, just look at us. Why are we here? We couldn't stay on the Brahma-Bhuta platform. Why? Because we deviated our focus from the Lord. But so we're here. So you can temper. It's like a ball. You throw it up in the air, and there is that moment of that weightlessness in space, and then it comes down again. So when you're working on universal time, you know, then that appears that that ball stays up for a while. But then also by that, how long does it take for the ball to get up there? You know, that's the whole, that's why Prabhupada said before, you can meditate for, do this pranayama for thousands of lifetimes. You know, and even in the Brahma Samhita, it says they can drill the respiration for millions of lifetimes and never even see his toenails. You know, let alone the feet. So, the inductive method, because you're starting with your senses, and how can you compare to God? Yes, we include in the process of explanation the inductive elements, but that's by connecting the descending down to them, right? So they start with the senses. So since someone's starting there, you have to be able to connect to them there, but you're bringing from the top down to their position. So that's why in presenting, then you're going to, you know, state your point, you're going to give your reasons, and then you're going to give examples and clear any doubts. So those examples and clearing of doubts, the examples will be according to the individual or whoever you're speaking to. And the doubts are going to be according to their doubts. Right? And so then you're connecting to their position and bringing them up, but it's from top down. It's just like if you're in the well, the bottom of the well, and you have a rope, you know, how you throw the rope up, how it's going to stick to anything. Right? But if from up, then you can throw it down. You know, because if there's no personal thing, then what's there for it to go through? It's all impersonal, then you're throwing a rope into impersonal. How you'll stay there. Is that okay? So in other words, the inductive method is just useless for self-realization. Right? Now, that interest in using the intellect, engaging the intellect, that can be done. But it has to be in line with the statements of scripture. Then they're going to get somewhere. Otherwise, then they're not. They can't, because you cannot know the Lord through your senses. But it says that the Lord can reveal himself through the senses. You know, so by his mercy, even slightly favored by him, you know, then we can get something. That's why devotees are there. They see Krishna and the deity, and that to some degree. They can appreciate his presence. That's why they're there and they're enthusiastic and looking at the deities and want to go and see him for darshan, you know, offering obeisances, offering their prayers. because they do see Krishna there, but to the degree that won't be as much as, let's say, Mother Jashoda sees Krishna there. You know, but still there's some, that's why even slightly favored, then that mercy. So that's the whole thing, is the mercy is there. But to be able to physically appreciate, that may not happen for a while. But if one continues in the process, it happens.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. You know how you say it? Realization happens. Yeah.
Maharaj?
Maharaj? Yes.
It's also said in what you were reading that the importance to have determined bhakti.
Yes.
So it means that I think it's coming by step with the association of devotees who are already having determined bhakti. Yeah.
Yes. That's the whole idea, is that who you associate with, you take on those qualities. So you're in good association, you take on good qualities. You're in bad association, you develop bad qualities.
And how can, for example, by taking the session of Srila Prabhupada, by the books like that, you know, how can we increase our determine bhakti by association with a person through a book, for example?
You have to contemplate what you're reading. It means just that you're reading and that you're associating, you're going to get benefit.
Yes. Yes.
But now when you try to understand what is being stated, you know, in other words, you think about it. You don't just read it, you know, because, I mean, that one sits there and reads, you know, for, you know, a particular amount of time or a particular volume or whatever it is, that's always good. That association is always going to be beneficial and you're always going to get so much realization from that.
Yes.
But if we sit there and try to contemplate it, and, you know, what does that mean? How does that apply in our life and all that? Then it makes it just so much more.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Then continuing. What Brahma taught you was invisible, a secret called Atmatattva. I am something else. Since I am visible. End quote. Oh Lord, that is not so, since the difference between you and Brahman has been negated by our realization. Right? So they don't see that they're different. So he's saying, yes, that's Atmatattva, and I'm something else. There's no, you're non-different. Oh Lord, Bhagavan, we recognize you as the pure Sarup of Brahman. Param Atmatattvam. How do you know that? We know because you have now, Samprati, appeared to us in this form, Satvena. Until now, we did not know, but now we are certain by direct experience. Like Brahman appearing to the pure consciousness, you appear to our eyes, but not by material vision. This is not the only observation. You have produced Rachayan Tam Rati in us, a Sham. If this form were not true, we would not develop Rati for you. Right? Because they don't have any Rati for anything material. So that they're developing Rati for the form of the Lord means that he must be transcendental. Right? Because they're already on that Brahma-Bhuta platform. Okay. Other Atmaramas, by negating the self, do not attain Rati. This present realization, called Atmatattvam, is special and attained by a special means. Those who have given up Ahankara, Udgrantaya, and are thus detached, Vigra Viraga, know Atmatattva appearing as your present form by practicing determined Bhakti Yoga, which is understood by mercy or by humility only. Anutapa. Because, Because the point is, if you're humble, you get the mercy. And by mercy, you become humble, right? The secret taught by Brahma is the Chatur Shloki, which describes Prema Bhakti. Right? So there he mentions how he's everything, then how he's the values, and then how he as a person is beyond all that. So they've heard this, but they, at the time, they only caught the first verse. You know, first verse, some elements of the second, because they're not Mayavadis. Therefore, Brahman is real. Whatever's around us is real. It's all Brahman. And so, yes, the values that we have are also Brahman. So we see the energy, we have the values. So all this is all Brahman. So they're absorbed in Brahman. But the taste of that won't be the same. That's why they don't have a problem with the form. That'll be the difference. The Mayavadis will say the form of the Lord is illusion. The Brahmavadis don't have that problem. Just they don't see it as something other than the another feature of Brahman. In other words, they're looking at Bhagavan as a feature of Brahman. Right? Not saying he doesn't have a form, but they just see it all on that equal level rather than on the other where you see Bhagavan and then he has all these aspects. So it's just a matter of the position they're seeing from. So there's not going to be a difficulty there. Right, because they'll see him as the Supreme Lord, as the Param, you know, as the Super Soul. As we mentioned, the Paramatma feature, then it's in between the two. So that he has a form, but he's still the controller of energies, he's still all pervading, he's still the Supreme. So all these aspects will remain. They don't have a difficulty with that. That's why, in that way, then they can be also considered as devotees. In that, that they're focusing on the Lord and things like that, but they have that commitment, they have that determination, they have that devotion to the appreciation and practices, but it's not a devotion specifically to the person; it's a devotion to Tattva. Does that make some sense? You know, it'd be just like, let's say, someone is into wildlife, you know? And so then, you know, let's say, you know, the plants or a forest or a natural reserve or something like that. So they're into protecting the reserve. So for them, all plants, right? So hashtag all plants matter, right? And so then, you know, like that, everything matters, but it's not a specific plant. So they don't have a problem that the plant has form and this and that, but it's in the category of plants. You know, just like the animals there, just you know, the flora and fauna of that geographic location. And so then they do their best to take care. And sometimes they may individually deal and all that. You know, some animal has a problem or there's some problem with a particular tree or plant, and they'll put in some extra effort in that there. But after that's done, then it's just part of the overall thing. It just enhances their flavor for liking all animals, liking all trees. So you can see is that it's different from there's the person, and it's the person that's important. And then all these things are coming from the person. Does that make sense? Do we appreciate that?
All right.
Yeah.
Also, there's a point like here, it's brought out the point that the intense bliss is the difference, like, no, between Brahman and Bhagavan. Bhagavan is that intensity of the bliss. Now, we can see from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that, like, now, from moving from Rati to Rasa, and the first, the Vibhava should happen. In the Vibhava, the Alambana aspect is the Vishaya and Ashraya. So, unless one appreciate Krishna as a person, and also along with that, there should be ashraya, which is the devotees. It cannot move forward, and then you cannot taste the rati, rasa. Because of that, their intensity is very low, though they experience something because of being in connection with the Lord, like being in that platform.
Yeah. Yes. Very nice point. Yeah, does that make sense? Yeah. Persons, persons who have realized you do not regard attainment of impersonal liberation as your mercy. Right? Before that, they might think like that, but no. What to speak of attaining a material position like Indra, which is subject to fear caused by the Lord raising his eyebrow. O Lord, those devotees surrendered to your lotus feet are expert knowers of rasa derived from narrations about your fame, which should be chanted and which purify everyone like a tirtha. Yeah, so he reciprocates how you deal, because Indra is identifying to some degree with his body. Therefore, then the element of fear will be there. And so Krishna reciprocates based on this platform of fear. And so then he's the greatest. Like in the Bhagavatam, it has that verse that it's only because of fear of the Supreme Lord that we see that the material energy is functioning. The sun rises, you know, Indra does his job, Vayu does his. They all do their work because of fear of the Lord. Because they don't have that rati or anything. They're not on that transcendental platform. So they're devotees. So it's because of that, because they see like that. They're identifying materially, therefore there's fear. You give up that aspect, then there's no fear. Does that make sense? Yes, and so then the chanting of the holy name will purify like a tirtha. So previously fixed in non-difference, now the Kumaras are fixed in the variegated nature of the Lord, caused by the play of his Shakti with bliss of his Sarup. And, you know, and as Prabhu pointed out before, is that the aspect of intensity of bliss, remember before a few times, then that's been mentioned about the intensity. The differences in intensity. And so, yes, there's something there, but it's considered like a drop. It's actually a portion of a drop. I mean, we're just being general, but it's just a drop compared to the unlimited ocean of bhakti. So whatever is there in liberation, that little bit is nothing compared to. So in the material world, we take it that suffering is there. Then when you have a nice physical situation and all those kind of things, the senses are engaged and all that, then that's very nice. Then if it's a peaceful environment, it's even better. And then if it's freed from all you know, material contamination, it's better than that. But it still doesn't make it, it's that. So in the material world, we see it gets so great, but that's compared to only a drop. Right. And this is just being a very general description. So previously fixed in non-difference. You wanted to ask something?
Yes, I wanted to ask you, Maharaj. When we were reading Brihad Bhagavatamrita and Gop Kumar travels through all the planetary systems, then... many times you mention is that in heavenly planets, they also view Bhagavan feature of the Lord, but through his feature as Paramatma. So now we can see that some, they view Bhagavan feature through Brahman feature, and some view Bhagavan feature through Paramatma feature.
Yes.
So then on Vaikuntha, it's a guess, they see him as Bhagavan only there, but everywhere else they don't see him purely as Bhagavan. It's a feature of Bhagavan, but the view is through a different feature. Is that right?
Yes, that means from those who are interested in pure devotional service, they'll see Bhagavan as Bhagavan. How much they have realization of that, you know, so practically where they're dealing, that's another thing. But they do accept that Bhagavan is Bhagavan, you know. But, you know, you're going to have the practical. It's just like, let us say, someone is learning to cook, and but he's, you know, he has that devotion for Krishna and all that. But the techniques of learning and progressing are going to be the same as someone else who's learning cooking who's not a devotee, right? Stirring things with a spoon is going to be the same technique. It's not going to change, right? So then you do have the aspect of you may be appreciating all these things, but we're seeing it more all the way up to Bhagavan, because you have the localized aspect of Bhagavan. So that's called Paramatma. So because in Paramatma, you just see him. You don't really see his pastimes. But God's there. It's an office. He manages everything. You know, you're good. He pats you on the back. You're bad. He kicks you in the backside. You know, so it's going to be more just that official. It's not that he's not a person and he doesn't do things. He has senses and everything, but they don't see him as a person that he personally, you know, in other words, the Lord of the Ichashakti. They just see that he controls his energies, but then they forget, why would he control his energies unless there's some interest from that point. Like we saw, is that when we were discussing, I think last time, about, you know, his energies. So when the Ichashakti is applied to the Chitshakti, then, you know, the internal potency, then we see that the Lord, that's where we get the idea of the manifestation of the place of pastimes, the name, form, qualities, and the pastimes themselves, like that. So it's all coming out of his desire. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So because of that, that's why things are happening. Mechanically, they might be, Kriya may be taking care of it, because it also says Kriya manifests, you know, the whole manifests the spiritual realm, because there's no creation. But the Kriya Shakti is manifesting that. But it's only because of the influence of the Icha. So even though Icha, Kriya, and Jnana are influencing the other aspects of the Shaktis, Icha also influences Kriya and Jnana. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's why you see in the one, it's the topmost. Because it's as far as influence goes, the topmost. But in other places, then it's saying, then when Lord Chaitanya is talking, he talks about then the manifestation of Sambit Sandini Ladini. You know, and having that knowledge, that's the topmost. Because then from that, we saw that's the Anubhava, so that's going to be the taste. Right? So that's the thing, is that it's one Shakti, and it's taking care. It has all these features. Does that make sense? So the Satchidananda of Krishna is himself as Krishna. But at the same time is, then these three qualities that he has, then in a Sarup Shakti, has three features. Right? Because he's the masculine, then is the feminine, then it has these three features. So, you know, and then you can take any one of them and say, but otherwise you have, you know, the Vibhava as the internal, external, and marginal, then as the influential, then you're going to have the Icha, Kriya, and Jnana, and then as the Anubhava, then you're going to have the Hladini, Sambit, Sandini. You know, so these that you see manifest in his energies. So the internal potency, it has these three features of the Satchidananda. So Satchidananda is the original. Right? And then from that, then you have these aspects manifest. And then they interact with themselves. And in this way, you get unlimited energies and unlimited, you know, situations, unlimited activities, unlimited tastes. Right? And when one gets to that platform of taste, then it's not based on the technical knowledge of the interaction. You know, it's just like good food. You can just taste it and not even think about how it's cooked. And then if you want, you can think about it, and it'll just add to the taste. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So like that, because the main point is that taste. So we see of that, all that, then it's going to across, then it's going to be from Ananda, you know, you have the Sambit, Sandini, Ladini. So what's the topmost aspect of those three is Ladini. Right? And so he's the Anandamaya, you know, Vigraha. Yeah, and she is the taking the position of the Ladini. So he's bliss and she's the pleasure potency. And so that's Braja, Radha, and Krishna. He has all these other features and they're all there supporting in that role. So that's why within one of them, you can see all of them. You know, in one of these three kinds of features, you can see all the other aspects. Does that make sense? So that's why you can take it across that, okay, then the internal potency, the Ichashakti and the Ladini. You know, you can take that across there. That way, because they'll have that commonality. But at the same time, as you do have the other way. You know, so then you see Ladini, Sambit, Sandini. You know, so generally we are looking at that aspect. So, you know, generally then we'll put, you know, Satchitananda, then we'll put, you know, his Sandini, Sambit, Ladini, then, you know, like this. We'll just put them all, you can put them all down like this. And they do have those connections. But at the same time is then, that's why we see is within the thing you see. That's why you'll see is then within the thing, you'll see all of them working. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So the jnana will be the overall, you know, existence of things and all that. But at the same time, you know, that appreciation and all that, that there's majesty, that there's sweetness, that there's the appreciation, the beauty of the Dham, you know, because it's the existence of things. But at the same time is then you can have the personalities who take care of the taste in these areas. So Radharani is the Hladini, you know, and then others will be the Samvit and then Sandini. At the same time is, but then they're working within the Hladini. So within the Hladini, you're going to have subdivisions of Sambit and Sandini, right? Because you're going to have Radharani in the middle, and then you're going to have Lalita to the left and there's too many V's that were going on here. Who's on the right?
Well,
Vishaka. Yeah, so you're going to get that. In other words, of left, then Lalita is left of left. Vishaka is right of left. And Radharani will be the middle of left. That balance. Because that's what makes it perfect. Means if everything is the same, what's the specialness? Why would there be taste? So this idea that in Brahman, you know, my body is that there's nothingness, it's all exactly the same and there'll be a taste, that's completely bogus. Well, how can it be? Taste means there has to be difference. So that's the thing, is they're holding on to their attachment that they're going to experience Brahmananda, but the Maya bodies never will. Yeah, you give up sinful activities, it situates you in goodness and all this. So actually they just got kind of like a transformation of goodness. That's all the more that they can get. They never actually can get anything more. And yeah, you have a person living out in the country, you know, a simple life in the farm, you know, living like that, and he'll have an enjoyment that is, you know, is different than the city people. Does that make some sense? So this principle is that Paramatma, then he is the Lord, but that's why he probably uses the term localized, because he's just there performing an activity in that particular situation, you know, that we're perceiving. You know, but he's all pervading. So all situations he's localized in. Every locality, he's there. So it's about that locality, about controlling time and everything. So that's why you see that when they're dealing with Bhagavan, but you see much of the time they're only dealing with him kind of as Paramatma. But he's still Paramatma as Bhagavan, because that's why we see his Karana Dakshai Vishnu. He has his palace, he has all his servants and associates, and he has his pastimes. Garbhadakshai Vishnu the same, Kiradakshai Vishnu is the same. You know. But we generally think of Paramatma just in it's in the aspect of how he's sitting in the heart, he's controlling everything. Right? But we see is that he is Bhagavan. But when we're only looking at that particular portion, you know, it's just like the guy at the office, you're only looking at him from that capacity. You know, the high court judge, he's only the judge. But when he's at home, then he's being himself. So it's not that he's not a person when he's sitting on the bench. You know? But the whole point is that him doing these things, then it's specific for a specific activity. You know, the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the universe. That's what he's doing. Does that make sense? So you can see these overlaps. He pervades everything. It's just like the sunshine is pervading everywhere. But then there's the sun globe. But then there's the sun, you know, so we see the sun globe and think, okay, the sun. But that's the Paramatma feature. Then there's inside the sun god. That's the Bhagavan feature. Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj. So basically we can say that although the Bhagavan feature is there, if we don't interact with him on that level and just ask him to fulfill our desires, that's the Paramatma feature, which is we interacting with. Not that he doesn't have it, but that our interaction is based on that level.
Yeah, it means he reciprocates on that level. Mm-hmm. But the point is it's him as a person who's reciprocating. You know, it's not that, oh, because I only see him as Paramatma, he's only Paramatma. No, he's still himself. Mm-hmm. But the point is what the feature where he is interacting with the devotees, you know, on the platform of rasa, you know, on the way of, you know, these main rasas and all these pastimes, that's then when you're going to say Bhagavan. Otherwise, the name, then the form, qualities, then pastimes. So all of it's him. He is Brahman. But the point is Brahman is just a feature of him as a person. You know, it's just like you're sitting in your house, right? You know, and that, but same time, downstairs, if someone comes into the property, they see the gardens taken care of nicely. You know, there's no weeds, it's clean, you know, everything's properly taken care of, right? But you didn't personally do it, you know, but through your influence, it happened. So that's the thing, is they'll come and they can appreciate that. So the point is, but the natural form is that person takes care of his garden, though he doesn't do it himself. You know, one does it through one's energies, you know, otherwise known as money, right? You know, you pay money, the guy pulls out the weeds. You don't pay money, he doesn't pull out the weeds, right? So, but the point is that people know that the person does that, because that, you know, that's how we're used to dealing with personal on the material platform. But now this idea that the Supreme is a person, we tend to not do that. Though on the material platform, we do it all the time. You know, or at work, you have the, you know, the, let's say the supervisor or the boss. But you don't deal with the boss as a person. you know, who has does things with his family and this and that. You deal with him just as the boss, so he's localized. You know, you understand? So you know it's a person and you deal and all that. You know? Does that make sense? So yes. It's just a matter of how much you know the person. Let's say someone doesn't know you, but no, they're coming to visit you and know it's your place. And they come in and they notice the garden. And so then they appreciate, oh yeah, he takes care nicely. But there's still, it's just a general kind of thing. It's a localized personal thing. They don't know you as a person, right? And then through the process, then you know, through the process of Aliyah, where they go up the stairs, then, you know, then they make it up to finally the you know, supreme destination there, and then, you know, like that. And then, does that make sense? Yeah.
Yes.
Then they come in, then they see how you live, how you deal, how you do everything like that. So that's the point, is Krishna reciprocates because he's the Vishai. In all circumstances, he is the Vishai. That's just the way it is. But he reciprocates with everybody else how they as Ashray deal with him. So since there is only him, there isn't anything else. How they deal with him, that's there. So if someone just deals with as he's the sensual pleasure of eating, then he if they do it properly and respect it, he comes to them as taste. Right?
Yes.
Like that. Or someone else's money, so economics. So they deal with the economics properly, then he comes to them as profit. Like that. You know, so whatever it is, you know, the person who is into justice, then he comes as that. Something happens, or revenge, you know, then he gets that. But you see, is the lower the qualities, the less taste is there. And the more it goes up, the greater it gets.
Yes, the difficulty seems to be is that many satisfied with less taste, just because to get the less taste, you have to make a less effort. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of parallel. So, okay, yes. not as much, but something is there, but we don't have to work hard.
Yeah, so that's where it comes in. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan manprapadyante. Because yes, many, many births. And so then is there. So that's the point, is you can go back to Godhead in one lifetime. Because when you've come to the point of Shraddha, that means you only need one lifetime. How many lifetimes it took to get to this point? Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, it's just like, let's say, you see, like, you know, the example of, I mean, there's others that are similar, but the one that always comes to my mind is Madhudrisa.
You know, yes.
Maharaj. He's just out hiking around. He comes across he's an Aussie that's in America or whatever it is. He happens to be there. He's in San Francisco. He's at the happening place. He just happens to be there for Rath Yatra. Comes down, what's going on, sees the Rath Yatra, I guess where he walks in, it's at Subhadra's place. Her cart is lower. You know, it's always, you know, you can actually put things on the cart. Well, Jagannath's always much bigger, throws his backpack onto Subhadra's cart, takes part in that, goes to the program. When the program, you know, closes down, he helps the devotees there closing down, and then he goes back to the temple. He never leaves. So that means it was that close or that much last lifetime. And so it just took that much, one evening, and he's a devotee. Right? But you see somebody else is that, let's say at one time they're convinced, but it takes them a long time to actually get serious. And then there's others who it takes them, you know, some months or some years to get convinced, and then they, you know, take it up. And then there's, you know, always that Bhakta Jose, you know, he's been a Bhakta for 20 years, comes around, does service, and he disappears for a while, shows up in another temple on the other side of the country, does some service for a while, then disappears, you know, like that. And so he never actually comes to that point of really that shraddha. He's always on the platform of Vijñāta Sukriti. You know, or even if he does come to the point of that, he won't move forward. He won't take Bhajana Kriya. So that's the thing, is that there's all these options on how far you take it. So if somebody is taking it, he's done all this in the previous lifetimes. So that's why then it can be confidently said, this one lifetime, you can't go back to Godhead. You know, because some people take it, oh, you know, janmanam, after so many lifetimes, means things, okay, from now, so many lifetimes. No, it's those so many lifetimes and what would got you to here. You know, it's just like you see guys even lower, because we mentioned those who have taken up and are involved in devotional service, except, but you see, it's like, you know, the Harinam party every day is down at the same place, and every day that same businessman walks by in his suit and his briefcase and doesn't even look. You know, first of all, it starts on, you know, walks around on the next other side of the street, and after some time that he sees nothing happens, hears no weirdo news in the paper, newspaper or anything like that, you know, or on television. So then he might stay on the same side of the street, you know, instead of walking around. And then slowly, slowly like that. And after years and years, he might inquire, what are you guys doing? You know, and even if they give him a magazine or this or that, he doesn't look at it. He just puts it on his table or tosses it out or gives it to somebody. You know, or you have the, you know, the points of, let's say, I think it's the father or the grandfather bought the book, put it on the bookshelf. Never read it. You know, so I heard of one where it was grandfather hadn't read it. Mother knew about it. Means in other words, the daughter knew about it. But after the grandfather left, and so the daughter is then, you know, distributing his properties. Then she says to her daughter, who's now the granddaughter, right? You'll be interested in this book. Right? So grandfather brought the book, granddaughter became the devotee. Right? So two generations went by. That's, you know, the book is sitting there, but it's the third generation that actually gets the advantage. So that's the whole point. Now that he had that book and that association, that's a Jñāta Sukriti. That by that, now his granddaughter became a devotee. That's even more Jñāta Sukriti. You know, that the mother then, for the daughter, it recommended it, she'll get some Jñāta Sukriti. Plus, you know, she grew up in that house, so she would have seen the book also. So like this, that's the beauty of devotional service. There's always so much benefit for everybody. So it'll just take so many lifetimes. But once one has come to devotional service, then you only need one lifetime. You know, Prabhupada says that, Shastra says that. And I think the famous quote, I think it's from Vishnu Purana, like that. Bhagavatam says it. That's the beauty. One lifetime you can go back to Godhead. So when it says you remember Krishna at the time of death, you go back to Godhead. That's it. Doesn't matter if you're a neophyte, Madhyama or Uttama, you'll go back to Godhead, right? And then when you, resituating yourself there, then if you were a neophyte, yes, but now you're neophyte, meaning neophyte from the devotional development, but you'll be Brahma-Bhuta. You won't have any of the sinful karma and anything like that. So that won't be holding you back. So now it's just a matter of, if you're in your spiritual body and spiritual association in the spiritual realm, then you're going to go from a neophyte up to an uttama pretty quickly. Right? So your situation is that of an uttama. You're liberated, but your consciousness and it may not have been. And then it goes up.
Yes, right? Thank you.
Then, does that make sense? Yes. Okay. Yeah, we're good. Yeah. Though previously fixed in non-difference, Now the Kumaras are fixed in the variegated nature of the lore is caused by the play of his Shakti with bliss of his Sarup. Right? So the variegation is there by the play of the Shakti, the interaction, and then the bliss that comes from that with the bliss of his Sarup. They speak of the great happiness of the devotees in order to request bhakti alone, whose basis is difference between the Lord and self. So before is that they were fixed in non-difference, but it's not that they can't see variety, the variegated nature in Brahman. See, that's the difference. Brahmavadis can appreciate that there's wall Brahman, there's floor Brahman, and there's door Brahman. So you walk through door Brahman, you know, by walking on floor Brahman, you know? So, but it's all to them, it's just all one. It's just all the supreme. So they, all the variegatedness is all one. You know, you accept that there's variegatedness. It's just like, let's say I have a big basket of apples and I ask you, what is this? You'll say apples, right? So just, it's all one. It's just all apples. Right? But you can tell the difference that there's 100 apples there, and they're each different and all that, and some are big, small, and this and that, but they're all apples. You understand? So, like you were mentioning before, is that they're seeing the variety, but in the context of the oneness. But now they're switching to see the variety. You know, so the oneness is seen in the context of the variety. You know, so the Lord and the devotee and the Dham and his passion are non-different, but it's the variety that's important. Because of that, then you get, then there's the bliss of his Sarup, right? But by the play of his Shakti. Right, so now it's the nature of the Lord as a person caused by the play of the Shakti and the bliss of the Sarup. Before it's just, he is the Lord, he's doing all these things, and so then therefore that supreme element is there. Does that make sense? So it's a switch in the perspective. So we're starting with ourselves and then going up to the spiritual, but in the other you're starting with the Lord and then we're part of that. Because if you start with the Lord, Lord being everything, there is no up or down. But it's now, it's appreciating it according to the particular rati, according to the particular taste. So you see, it's a furtheration of the process. I'm sure grammatically it's a correct word, but the lexicographers would probably, you know, jump up and down. Okay. So then we'll stop here and then we'll have a little break and continue in a few minutes. Jai Ho. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.